You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, I want to speak to you about the character of the effective preacher. And if I could be even more specific, possibly, the character of the effective expository preacher, someone whose real heart in their preaching and teaching work is to preach directly from the scriptures and to unfold the scriptures. And I recently came across a pretty good thread on Twitter where a pastor presented what he called preaching hacks. You know, tools, tricks, processes that can help you do things better. The idea comes from what people call life hacks, which has been defined by some people as any trick, shortcut, or skill, or a novelty method that increases productivity and efficiency in all walks of life. Well, the preaching hacks hope to do the same thing. You know, a little trick, a little skill, a better way to take or compile or store notes, illustrations, observations, how to get started in preaching a sermon when you feel stuck, and so on. Now, I think the things that I read in that Twitter thread were good and helpful, but even as the author of that particular helpful Twitter thread would agree, they only tell one part of the story. And that's why I want to talk to you again today about the character of the effective preacher. Now, I believe that effective preaching, and especially effective expository preaching, comes from a life, not just from a process. And when it comes to that life, I'm not just talking about moral purity, though that's part of it. I'm speaking of the kind of person who can study, prepare, and present effective expository preaching and teaching. Now, I do believe that tools are important, good study habits, good commentaries and other resources, podcasts, inductive Bible study methods, Christ-centered disciplines, and so forth. But in your pursuit of all of those good things, please don't forget character. So I'm going to present to you now 8 character traits that I think are important to being a good preacher or teacher, and especially, as I said before, a good expository preacher and teacher. Although I do want to make pains before I begin my list of 8 characteristics. These go, in most measures, beyond the basic character that's described in 1 Timothy and Titus. 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1. I hope you're familiar with those passages that speak of the kind of character that a leader, specifically there it's for elders, but we can apply the same principle to anybody who's in some kind of leadership position in a church or among God's people. Those character things described in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1 are very important. That's sort of a foundation, but I just wanted to highlight again these 8 basic character traits that I think are important to being a good preacher or teacher, and especially a good expository teacher. The first one of those I would define as being grace-filled. I would just lay before the idea that accurate, anointed exposition comes from a life and from the frame of mind that's focused on Jesus and the grace he gives. It's not focused on self. It's not focused on the world or the culture around us. It's not focused on the many distractions that we might face in life and ministry. No, it's focused on Jesus Christ and the grace that he gives us. With a focus on Jesus, it's easier to do what is the core responsibility of the expositor. The core responsibility of the expositor is, to put it simply, to see what is there in the biblical text. There's the biblical text in front of us. We want to be able to observe what's there and explain it to our congregations with, of course, the proper and adequate illustration and application. Now, when we're focused on self, when we operate from a works-based thinking, we run through it like this. We say, I begin with doing. I must use the text to make a good sermon happen. But when we walk in Jesus' grace-based thinking, we say, I begin with receiving. The message is in the text. I simply need to see it and receive it. You see, it's two very different attitudes. We don't come to the biblical text trying to make it say what we want it to say or what we wish it had said. We let the Bible text tell its own story. We come to the scriptures first on the principle of grace, that is, the principle of us receiving what God has given us in Jesus Christ. He's given you the message in the Word. It's your job to receive it and then to relay it. So grace-filled would be the first characteristic. The second one that I want to speak to you about is being honest. And what I mean by this is simply to say that an honest Bible teacher or preacher has the godly character to take the text as it is, not as they wish it was. And this means that God helping us, we're going to be honest with difficult passages such as 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, at least in the King James Version and the New King James Version, you know, in those two prominent Bible translations. Personally, I prefer teaching from the New King James Version. I don't think it's the only good Bible translation out there, but that's the one I favor. When you do a little bit of digging, you see that a section of words that begins in the middle of verse 7 of 1 John chapter 5 and concludes in the middle of verse 8 of 1 John 5. Those words aren't in any ancient manuscript, just none. They weren't part of what John originally wrote. Now, look, there's a whole story and a background. You can look up in my commentary if you want to get some of the background to that whole issue of the Johannine comma. And people sometimes like it because it is a perfect, and some people would say it is a too perfect explanation or stating of the doctrine of the Trinity. Now, we don't need a passage like that to prove the doctrine of the Trinity. It's written throughout not only the Bible, but especially the New Testament. But an honest preacher, teacher, Bible expositor is going to know that about the text. And won't present it as if that belonged in the original text. But we're also going to read the Bible text carefully enough so that we don't unwittingly twist passages such as 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Are you familiar with that verse? Let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says this, "But as it is written," Paul going to quote Isaiah here, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Great verse, isn't it? Paul quoting Isaiah there. Now, I'm sure that in my early years as a preacher and teacher, I would quote 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, and use it to talk about heaven. And in principle, isn't it true about heaven? That heaven is going to be greater than anything you've ever seen, anything you've ever heard, more than can enter into your heart. That's how great heaven is going to be. Now, it's true, but that's not what Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Let's take a look at those verses again here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Now, verse 10. "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." Now, I suppose that there are some people who would take 1 Corinthians 2, 9 out of context to make it apply to heaven out of ignorance or sloppiness. But there's some people who just can't pass it up. They're not honest with the text. And by the way, the context of that passage makes it clear that it's speaking of what God has revealed by his Spirit to us in the new covenant. So an honest Bible preacher or teacher isn't going to take a verse out of context to make it say what he wishes it said. Another aspect of honesty as a character trait for the effective preacher or teacher is that we're not afraid to read people that we disagree with, and to read the best arguments that they can make for their views. Listen, friends, I'm committed to understanding the Bible as it is in truth. And I understand that there are a fair amount of matters in biblical interpretation where there's some kind of difference of opinion or controversy. Well, I'm going to read the Bible and research it and try to understand the best things I can. But I want to read people who disagree with me, and I want to read the best arguments of the people who disagree with me, so that I can come to conclusions about what the Bible says and what it teaches to us in an honest, fair way. I remember some years ago, I was teaching through the Gospel of Matthew, and I came up to Matthew chapter 24, the famous Olivet Discourse, where Jesus speaks so much about the end of things and things to come, and he speaks what we might call in a prophetic context. Well, there is, through Christian history, a fair amount of divergent opinion about, were those events fulfilled in 70 AD when the Romans conquered and destroyed Jerusalem? Were they completely fulfilled? Were they mostly fulfilled? Is that yet things to happen? And I take it from the perspective that for the most part, it's things yet to happen. That certainly there was a foreshadowing of those things in 70 AD, but in the main, in the whole, those things had not yet been fulfilled. Well, look, when I went through, I wanted to read the best arguments from the people who disagreed with me. And of course, I couldn't read every good argument. I mean, I did a fair amount of research, but it wasn't like I spent a year researching, but I spent my time, and look, it was helpful. They exposed some weaknesses in my understanding that I wasn't really aware of, but I was also able to detect some weaknesses in their understanding. And at the end of it all, I was confirmed in my sense of what that passage taught, even though my eyes were open to maybe a few additional problems, but I felt like the problems in the other interpretive approaches were even greater. It was good, and it'll be good for you. Another aspect of honesty as a character trait of the effective preacher or teacher is that when we speak of doctrines, of preachers, or of believers that we don't agree with, we're going to represent them honestly and accurately. Sometimes we do a very poor job of this. We say, well, you know, atheists believe this, and, you know, there are none or very few atheists who believe what we just said. Jehovah's Witnesses believe this, or Mormons believe that, and we're not representing their views accurately. Honesty should be a character trait of us in our preaching and teaching. And of course, honesty means that we will not be prejudiced or manipulative or careless in the words we speak and the preparation that we do. All right, that's the second one. Grace-filled, honest. Let me talk to you now about the third aspect. The person will be secure. I guess you could say that they won't be insecure, but they'll have a sense of security and confidence, rest in who they are in Jesus Christ. Look, this is very important. As preachers and teachers of God's word, we don't speak in order to please our hearers. We are secure enough in our relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing that we are in fact accepted in the beloved, as Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6 says, that we don't have to beg for the approval or the acceptance of those to whom we speak. It's a sad and tragic thing to see preachers and teachers who virtually beg for the approval of those who hear them, their audience. I don't like using the term audience so much. It kind of denotes a performance, but you know, understand what I mean. For those who hear them. Now, look, we're not actively trying to be disliked by the people whom we speak to, but whether or not they like us isn't the best or final measurement. It's whether we've been true and accurate according to the words and the heart of Scripture. You see, we want to be like the Apostle Paul described himself in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. He wasn't worried about pleasing men because he was a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I'm secure in who I am in Jesus. Therefore, I'm not hanging on your approval. Again, it's not like I'm trying to cultivate your disapproval, but at the end of the day, who I am in Jesus is more important to me. When we have this security, when we avoid the dangerous place of being a person who's fundamentally insecure in ministry, then we also know how to deal with the feedback that we get from people about our work as preachers and teachers. You see, we don't want to get too high from nice things that people say to us or about us when we preach and teach. And by the way, that is a danger. You can't believe every compliment. I don't want to be too harsh here, but let me just tell you a fact. There are people who will compliment you because they feel sorry for you. And they don't want you to despair. You preached a terrible sermon or taught a terrible Bible study, and they feel sorry for you, so they're going to give you a word of encouragement. Now, God bless them. They're being very kind. But be careful with it. You don't want to get too high from nice things people say, but neither do you want to get too low from nasty things that are said about you. Now, God helping us, we will not be insecure. We won't be man pleasers. We won't be slaves to the opinions of others. So next, number four in our list of eight, I believe an important character trait of an effective preacher or teacher of the Bible is that they are hardworking. So we've seen grace-filled, honest, secure, and now hardworking. Now, we recognize this truth from the scriptures, that God rewards those who diligently seek him. And I believe that this is especially true in regard to the ministry of the word. We should endeavor to work as hard as we properly can in our study and preparation. Now, I use that word very carefully, as we properly can. We don't want to do it to the neglect of our family, or do it to the neglect of our personal pastoral work. Look, honestly, there are some pastors who would be much more effective in their ministerial work if they would spend less time in the study and more time with people. But anyway, we want to work as hard as we properly can, but with the goals of being able to communicate with simplicity and clarity. In other words, I'm counseling you, be hardworking in your preparation, but not with the goal of eloquence, and certainly not with the goal of celebrity. Don't try to be known as a great preacher. Don't try to be eloquent. Make your goal and work hard after this goal to be simple and clear in your speech. Now, I believe that there is a beautiful eloquence in simplicity and clarity. But don't try for eloquence. You see, we want to be like Jesus, who was about his Father's business, according to Luke chapter 2, verse 49, and who worked hard, according to John chapter 9, verse 4. We want to be like Paul, as he said of himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, who said that he labored more abundantly than all the other apostles. Yet, of course, all the while he knew it was God's grace, but Paul was not apologetic about the fact that he worked hard. God helping us in our preparation and in our actual preaching ministry, we won't be lazy, or we won't always be looking for the easy way out. Our mind will not default to the path of least resistance. What's the easiest way for me to come up with something to say at the next Bible study I got to teach? No, that's not the proper way to think. I want to work as hard as I properly can without neglecting the other things that I must give attention to as a Christian man and other responsibilities of ministry. That's number four. Let's take a look at number five, and that is to be bold. So we have grace-filled, honest, secure, hardworking, and bold. Friends, we won't have a high opinion of ourselves. We must not have that. We don't want a high opinion of ourselves, but we will have a high opinion of God's word. And as we understand and explain the Bible, we can do it with great boldness, understanding that we have, in the very best and most proper sense, apostolic authority. We are speaking from the written foundation of the apostles and prophets as it is described in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. So, that should be a character trait of us. We should be like Jesus, who taught with authority. Now, of course, there's a huge difference between the authority of Jesus and my authority as a preacher. Jesus had inherent authority. I have authority as I stick to this, as I explain the Word of God. I don't have authority as I present the ideas or the ethics of the culture or tradition, but I do have authority as I present the ideas and the ethics of the Word of God. Jesus taught with authority, and we want to faithfully communicate the mind of Christ. As we do that, we also have authority. We also want to be like the Apostle Paul. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Paul describes how he did not speak with flattering words, but he boldly proclaimed God's truth. So God helping us, we won't be hesitant or timid. We're not going to stand in the pulpit and work out our doubts from the pulpit. Friend, that's not the place for working out your doubts. Work out your doubts in the study. Work out your doubts in the prayer closet. Don't work out your doubts in the pulpit. No, we're going to be bold in the pulpit on the authority of God's word, not on our own authority, of course. Let's take a look at the next one here, number 6. And on my list, I have that as being zealous. Grace-filled, honest, secure, hardworking, bold, and zealous. I believe that we must preach and teach with the zeal that is appropriate to our personality. I'm not asking, matter of fact, I'm begging you, don't try to imitate someone else's zeal. That's not the idea at all. No, we want to communicate to those who hear us our interest, our wonder, our fascination with what God says and what he gives to us in himself and in his word. And you need to do that, again, in a way that is appropriate to your personality. Don't think, well, I need to be zealous like such and such person is zealous in the pulpit. Say, what does zeal look like for me? What am I like? What is my tone of voice? What is my pace of speech? What are my mannerisms when I am zealous for something? That's what I want to communicate in the pulpit. So again, we want to preach with the level of zeal that is appropriate to our personality. And again, if I could say, this is being just like Jesus. Jesus's zeal in serving God was noted. You can look it up in John chapter 2, verse 17. Paul as well. In this, we want to imitate Paul, whose zeal and effort were evident to other people. You can find that in Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. You see, what we want to avoid in our preaching and teaching ministry is being blasé, passive, too casual or cool. You want to be zealous for God's word. Again, zealous according to your personality, but whatever zeal is in your personality, you should show it towards the word of God. Let me tell you a mistake that I find in many preachers and teachers. They will read the scriptures in kind of a cool, casual, a little bit blasé way. They'll talk about what it means, kind of a cool, casual, blasé, passive way. Then they'll get to a story or an anecdote from their own life. Suddenly, they get all animated. They get all energetic. They get all passionate about telling the story from their life. Friend, do you realize what that pastor or preacher just did in presenting things that way? They just gave everybody listening to them the impression that the Bible is boring, but their own life is exciting. Because they read and speak about this as if it is boring, but they speak about the latest news story or cultural controversy or a political election or story from their own life as if those are the truly exciting things. Now, I'm not trying to say don't get excited about a truly exciting story from your own life, but do you have any kind of zeal in your communication of God's word? I want to communicate to people that comparatively speaking, this is thrilling and will last forever. And my life, comparatively speaking, is boring. Listen, I don't have a boring life. I have a blessed life, a wonderful life. But comparatively speaking, this is the word of God that lives forever. And David Guzik isn't going to walk this earth for all that many more years. So again, keep it in perspective. Have zeal that's appropriate to your personality. That's number six. Let's take a look now at number seven, being teachable. So we had grace-filled, honest, secure, hardworking, bold, zealous, and now teachable. We're going to keep working at our preaching and not be satisfied if we feel that we've reached a certain level. Now, don't get this wrong. I'm not trying to say that you need to constantly remake yourself as a pastor or preacher or teacher, you know, every few years. No, of course, that's not the idea at all. But we just want to strive to be the best that we can be. In doing this, we're going to follow in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, who, speaking, of course, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, told us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, that he was always striving forward, that he always wanted to push forward, that he had not yet attained, but he wanted to attain these things in Christ Jesus. We need to keep developing, keep growing, keep learning. And again, I want to stress, not with the idea that you need to radically remake yourself every few years. No, that would just be weird. But you want to be the best you can be in the work that God has given to you. You want to do what Paul spoke to Timothy about and then also mentioned to a man named Archippus. You want to fulfill your ministry. And I think you only fulfill your ministry by keep striving after it in some sense. Keep pushing forward. God helping us, we won't become too self-confident, self-assured, self-satisfied. You know, kind of have that feeling, hey, man, I've arrived. It's all good. All that works just fine. No, we don't want to have that particular attitude. All right. On the list that we've been making, we've come up now to our very last one, and that is to be sympathetic. That's a character trait of the effective expository preacher. I believe that we will have a true heart for those to whom we speak. And we will pray for that kind of heart to have it more and more. We're going to preach as those with broken hearts and never from a position of superiority or ultra spirituality. We're going to anticipate the questions and the fears of our listeners and we're going to speak to them. We are not going to speak down to those who have not yet believed, but we're going to seek to persuade them with the love of God and with the truth of God. Friends, that's having a basic sympathetic attitude. You know, in this, we want to be like Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says that Jesus is our sympathetic high priest. Of course, Jesus wasn't the only servant of God mentioned like that in the scriptures. The Apostle Paul, he worked hard to persuade others. I love that. There's three passages in the book of Acts. Acts 13:43, Acts 18, verse 4, and Acts 26, verse 28, which all speak of Paul's effort to persuade other people. Listen, you can't persuade people by beating them over the head. You have to come assign them with sympathy and speak to their heart, speak to their fears, speak to the things that hold them in bondage. You need to speak to them boldly, but with sympathy. God helping us, we're not going to be rude. We're not going to be hard-hearted. We're not going to be hard-headed, God forbid. No, but we're going to be sympathetic towards the people to whom we preach, to whom we teach, the hearers that we feel very blessed by God, that anybody would come and hear us, and that we love them, we care for them. Ask God to give you a true heart for the people to whom you preach. Friends, I just want to conclude by saying, yes, of course, do your very best to master the tools of expository preaching. Get those preaching hacks and learn from them. Praise the Lord. But don't forget the place of character. And I've suggested to you here today 8 character traits of an effective preacher or teacher, especially an expository preacher or teacher. Let me just walk you through those very quickly once again. We have grace-filled, honest, secure, hardworking, bold, zealous, teachable, and sympathetic. And to be honest, I didn't really put those in any particular order, and I'm sure that you could add some to the list. But friend, I think as we let God really work on us in our character, we will find more joy in the ministry that he's given us to be preachers and teachers of his word, and perhaps a more effectiveness, certainly more rewarded in an eternal sense. I hope that you can find it and that you keep pressing forward in the work that God has given you in preaching and teaching his word.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor David Guzik. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor David's teaching ministry by visiting enduringword.com.